time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Bridley.
Hi.
And Jimmy, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Friday, Bridley.
Happy Friday.
First, I got to set out, put out a, what does OCA call it? A call to action.
Oh.
I want to warn everybody, Jeremiah and Lori Campbell are in Elk City today. they just came by. Jeremiah won some beef sticks like months ago.
Oh.
We actually had ate them, but I had some new ones, so I gave him twice what he actually won, some Taylor Ranch beef sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, it's all good. How you been?
Good. I've been good.
Well, let's get caught up here in a second after I figure out some temperatures. It looks like it's 75 degrees. There's a four-way tie for the hottest spot in Oklahoma. It's Granfield, Tipton, Altus, and Mangum, 75 degrees. 73 at Eric, 70 degrees, home of the secret weapon at Cheyenne. 72 at Arnett, home of the world-famous Lori Campbell. So is that the first real cowboy you ever seen when Jeremiah looked around the corner?
I don't know.
He's a real cowboy. That's what Lori says anyway. 71 degrees at Woodward, 72 at Slapout. And we got a new warm spot in the state. 76 at Cherokee. That's up in north central Oklahoma, out here in the Texas Panhandle. 72 at Lipscomb, 70 at Miami, 72 at Dozer, 73 at Wellington, and 75 at Odell. How about those Oklahoma Sooner girls? Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't get to watch it, but I heard they play really good.
Yeah, no, they played like crap till the last bat.
my mom's friend, she works in the taco truck with us. She's a huge OU fan, like a diehard OU fan.
Yeah, and I know those.
Yeah, she came in and was talking about him. Like, yeah, I didn't get to watch it, but yeah.
Yeah. So guess who OU gets to play tomorrow?
Who? Ew.
Yeah. You guys watching me on Facebook? I'm doing the horns down. But Texas and OU battle it off in the winner's bracket tomorrow. So great weekend for softball. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend for everything. So enjoy. Where you been for the last 2 weeks?
First
week you were...
Where was I that week?
Had to go to the city or something.
Yes, I went to the city. I don't remember why, but I had to go to the city for something.
Yeah.
I know that. And then last week, I was in Colorado.
Yeah. So did you say a cousin got married or something?
Yeah, my cousin got married up in Colorado.
And then so you guys just made a vacation out of it?
Yeah, we went a couple days early just to
I noticed they had to shut down the United States Department of Agriculture in Beckham County while your dad was gone.
They did?
No, not really.
Oh, I was going to say, he don't tell me about his
I'm pretty
no
sure they it went smoother with him gone.
It probably did.
Yeah, yeah. Jen and Wade and all them, they had it. Yeah, they had it going on over there. So you guys said, you was telling me before the show you went to Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
And what was the first question to come out of my mouth?
Was there snow?
Yeah. Was there?
A lot. It was insane. Like, at the bottom there was nothing because it was like 60 degrees down there.
Yeah.
And as you start going up, it starts getting colder. There was some snow that was, I don't even know how tall, but it was taller than me for sure.
Right.
Which, yeah. I mean, I'm not very tall, but.
You get that from your dad?
Yes, I do. Okay. But yeah, there was a lot of snow up there.
All right. And what else did you guys do up there?
We took Tegan and Kaylee to the little Santa's Workshop amusement park with a bunch of little kid rides.
Yeah.
And then we went to Manitou Springs and walked around and shopped. And then we found this really, really cool ice cream shop in Colorado Springs, where in like almost all of their ice cream, they have nitrogen in it.
Have what?
Nitrogen, like dry ice.
It's
so cool. And I got the little cereal puffs, and when you bite into it, like, dry ice nitrogen comes out of your mouth and out of your nose. It's cool.
It doesn't sound very cool.
It was an experience.
Oh, there we go. Now, that makes sense. It maybe is the experience. I just don't see ice cream coming out of my nose. It's cool.
I'll have to show you a video.
Oh,
but
boy.
But it was really cool.
What else did you do? Did you see any agriculture stuff going on up there? Did you even pay attention?
I mean, I was kind of paying attention to the mountains. I actually, usually, surprisingly, everywhere I've gone, I always see some sort of, like, plasticulture form. But I didn't see any up there. But we did see, like, on the dirt road up to our cabin, there were a lot of people who had high tunnels and hoop houses.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that surprised me. And I noticed some of them, they were used for, like, storage and not actual gardens.
Yeah.
But there were some that they used for gardening.
Any gardening going on?
There wasn't really, I didn't really see any, like, outdoor gardens very much. I don't know if it was just because it's
no,
still,
they're in those high tunnels.
Yeah.
Because their season's really
cold
short.
It's up there.
So yeah.
It was, I think the warmest it got was, like, 65, 70.
Right.
It stayed pretty cold.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Huh. And they, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to do some research on plastic culture in Colorado. Cause I don't know. There's probably not a lot of vegetables. Maybe down in the valleys, the big valleys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
There's not a lot of flat land up where we went.
Yeah.
It's like all mountains.
There's a lot of vineyards in Colorado.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I know that much. I got a question for my listeners. Curiosity. My landlord and I were talking this morning, and we were talking about buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to thinking, I wonder how far south. So here's my question, or I guess you can call it. How far south did the buffalo roam? And I got that expression. I probably made that expression myself. You just made it me. But if you get to thinking about it, buffalo are not very warm climate animals.
Yeah.
So I know there was buffalo here, out here south of Elk. There was a buffalo area where they ran them off the canyon to the Indians did, the Native mm-hmm. Americans did to slaughter buffalo. There's one up here on the Red Rock Ranch, I think. And then there's one, I don't know if there's one on the Taylor Ranch or not, but there is some of those areas out there. But how far south did the buffalo actually roam? I mean, up north, we already know. They was in Ohio, there was in Indiana and Iowa in that area, but I got to thinking about that. Out of curiosity, I just wonder if the Red River was the south boundary of the buffalo herds.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to research that, or actually knows, 580-225-9697 would be, I think it'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I know nothing about buffalo, so.
Yeah, and then, you know, the cattle they have further south into South Texas and stuff, they're bred to warm weather. They, mm-hmm. Our cattle up here hate it down in South Texas all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know, because the rattlesnakes, the mesquites, or just the hot weather down. It gets warm here. There's no doubt about that. So, but we have green grass and not mesquite. We got mesquite trees, but we actually have some grass around here right now.
Yeah.
Before we go to break, let's find out what happened in our big old world of agriculture overnight. And Briley's got, what do you got? We got three things we're going to talk about. Mistakes, fertilizing in gardens, and what else?
How to get rid of bugs on your plants.
Yeah.
And I also found this really cool topic that plants can communicate with each other and how they do that.
Okay, cool. All right. First, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Soybean and grain futures were a little changed overnight as planting in the U.S. heads into the home stretch and mixed global weather conditions. About 76% of the U.S. soybeans were planted as of Sunday, up from 66% the prior week. Half of the crop has emerged versus 34% of the week prior to this time last year. 87% of the corn crops was in the ground at the start of the week. That's up from 78% 7 days earlier, and the average above the average of 85% this time last year on the average. Rainfall is expected into Tennessee and the southern Ohio River valleys. The 6 to 10 day forecast calls for rain that will boost growing conditions in much of the Midwest. And though the 11 to 15 day forecast isn't as wet, the forecaster said the northeastern Midwest is most at risk of missing out on any precipitation. According to what I've seen, we're going into a wet pattern here in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle next week. What I've seen, don't bank on what I tell you. Just keep up with your own weather forecast. But that's what the National Weather Service is saying. And it might get a little rowdy around here also. Soybean futures for July delivery fell 1.5 cents to 10.49¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $1 to $2.97.40 a short ton, and soy oil futures lost 0.83 cents to 47.56 cents a pound. Corn came up 1¼ cents to 4.48¼. Wheat futures for July delivery gained 0.5 cents to 5.34½ a bushel, and Kansas City futures added 1¾ cents to 5.33½ a bushel. Let's see here. Not much else going. We already talked about the weather. Looks like it's going to get a little rough up north in Wisconsin tonight and tomorrow, so be on the outlook. It's going to be actually warm this weekend around here. You know, it actually got fairly chilly yesterday afternoon late.
It did.
I had to put a hoodie on. It was because it hailed in Elk City and that rain you guys got. You guys got some more rain yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, we got a little bit more rain. Luckily, at the house, we didn't get none of the hail.
Good, because if you didn't get any hail, more than likely my cows that are north of you guys' house didn't get any hail. So got pretty rowdy here yesterday afternoon, I guess. And we didn't get any more rain down at Carter or towards Willow, so it's still dry down there. Okay, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store. I'm wearing my Wheeler General Store cap today. Break. When we come back, I'll give you some up-to-date grain market reports, and then we'll start talking about tomatoes, peppers, squash, bugs, fertilizer. We'll have it all going on. Be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Trade-ins aren't just for cars anymore. Now they're for tools. Bring in your old tools and save up to $250 on brand new Milwaukee tools this month at Napa. Save $50 on tools like a half-inch drill driver kit. Save $100 on tools like a half-inch extension anvil controlled torque impact wrench with one key kit. And save $250 on the 1-inch D-handle extension anvil high torque impact wrench with one key. Bring in your old tools and pay less for brand new ones during the Milwaukee Trade-In event at Napa in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-purlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You should see some of the answers I got on the buffalo deal.
Was there a lot?
See, I knew we had some highly intelligent. I hadn't had time to research it, but there's pretty interesting. First, let's do some weather out in the panhandle of Texas. McLean, 70 degrees. Humidity is 48. Dew point's 49. Southeast winds at 6. Peak wind gust today, 16 miles an hour. 3.30 inches of rain. 3.3 inches of rain so far at McLean, Texas. 8-inch soil temperature, 66 degrees. That ain't nice. That cool weather's cooling stuff down a little bit yesterday. All right, you ready? Let's see here. It says, look, according to this map that somebody sent me, that the buffalo, original extent of buffalo herds went clear down into northern Mexico. All of Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, northern Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, both Dakotas, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi. They even went into Kentucky, the Virginians. South. I'm shocked. I did notice that none of the buffalo like California, and I can't figure out why. So the Arizona and Florida and California, most of Ohio, Oregon and Washington and New York and back over towards Maine, no sign of buffalo. So it said here, it's got a range, and that range I just told you about was the original extent of buffalo herds. In the 1870s, it narrowed down to Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, parts of Kansas, Colorado, and on up north towards there. And then in 1889, when they tried to make the buffalo extinct, there was some in southwest Kansas in the Oklahoma Panhandle, a little bit in Denver, some in, what is that, Wyoming, and a lot in Wyoming, and some in Montana. Other than that, the herd was gone. It was a bad deal.
Yeah.
It was another subject. And then, no, I don't know about another steak dinner over the weather. I'll have to call Donnie and find out. Actually, I still owe him one breakfast, so I'll have to double or nothing, Donnie, on the breakfast. I won breakfast. I won a breakfast back from him last week. So I still owe him a breakfast. So maybe I can get out of it or owe him two more breakfasts. All right. Oh, bugs. Let's talk bugs.
I hate bugs.
Huh?
I hate bugs.
You hate bugs?
They like to eat my plants.
Oh, yeah.
So, recently, I've had a few people ask me what they should do to get rid of plants or bugs that are eating their plants.
Okay.
So I did tell them what to do that in the moment, but I figured I would talk about it again because it's garden time.
Okay.
So a good way to get rid of it is to use a dish soap and water mixture. And you use 1 tablespoon of dish soap for every 1 pint of water and just spray it on your plants.
Okay.
And then that should help get rid of like aphids and whiteflies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Or you can use neem oil for spider mites and scale.
Yeah, and then, neem oil is a pretty good thing to use.
Yeah. We've never used it, but at that one thing that we had at the Votech here in town, the lady said that that was one of her favorite things to use.
Yeah, it worked.
And then you can also use vinegar and a water mixture, but only use 1 to every 3, however much water. Just make sure the ratio is right.
1 to 3 ratio?
Yeah. And then that's good for repelling insects and can be used as a weed killer, which is good because a lot of the weed killers out there, if you get it on your plant, it kills your plant too.
Right.
So if you use this, it'll kill the weeds and not kill your vegetable plants, which is really nice, especially with our wind. And then for
it gets rid of the bugs.
Yeah, it gets rid of your bugs. And then for aphids, the best thing me and my dad have found, especially on our cucumbers, is we'll just take our water hose with an attachment on the end and lightly power wash the leaves. And that's the best way we've found to get rid
of
aphids.
Knock them off.
Yeah. It can tear up the leaves a little bit, but it gets rid of the aphids. I mean, would you rather have aphids with pretty leaves?
Or some crappy looking leaves.
Ugly leaves and no aphids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's just my main.
What about ladybugs?
Oh, I love ladybugs. We were actually putting down some weed fabric and I got distracted by the ladybugs in our garden and I got in trouble.
By who?
My mom and dad, because I wasn't working. I was busy playing with the ladybugs. But
there's always two sides to the story.
Yes, there is. But that's my side. But we always get ladybugs from Amazon. They're relatively cheap, I'm pretty sure. My dad does the ordering. But we'll put them out in our garden, and they also help get rid of aphids.
But there's a trick to ladybugs, and this is the reason why, and I know you're going to give me the answer, is last year my wife bought me, I don't remember how many, 2,000 or 3,000 ladybugs from a... nursery in Edmond, and she brought them home that evening, Sunday evening, and I just turned them out right before dark in the high tunnel with the doors rolled up. They can't go nowhere. Well, they kind of, they got to find the holes, but they can come on. Next morning, I went out there, and I didn't find 3 ladybugs out of whatever there was, 3,000. That made me mad. That's where you came in. So, all right, so my agronomist told me that you don't want to get those ladybugs that you buy from online or whatever. And I've seen his point. But you guys figured out a trick to it because he said most ladybugs, I think they're all kind of bred and developed and manufactured in South Carolina. They want to migrate back to where they come from.
Yeah, that's what they'll do.
Yeah, and so you guys come up with a little game plan that I learned and I'm going to try this year, and I bet it works.
It does.
So what do you do?
So when we get them, luckily our mail lady is amazing, and if we're out of town, she'll take them home with her and do what we need to do with them. But we put them in the fridge and then let them, like, kind of like anesthesia, puts them to sleep.
Yeah.
But doesn't harm them or anything, just makes them go to sleep. And then that evening, we'll take them out of the fridge and release them in the garden. And once they start waking up, they won't want to migrate back to where they came from because their mind will be set on all the plants and all the aphids and all the bugs that are around them, so they'll stay.
So you're using ladybug psychology on them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, is that right? Is that the right word?
I think so.
Psychology?
I think.
Yeah.
Messing with their brain, not in a bad way. But that's how we do it. And they've stayed in. We still have ladybugs from, I'm assuming, last year that are out there right now.
Right.
And we haven't ordered any yet.
That's the ones that got you in trouble?
Yeah. They did.
So does your mom and dad yell at you more or the little kids more?
I really don't know. It depends on the day.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. They're pretty good parents, though, right?
They are good
yeah.
parents.
Oh, they, how's the taco business?
It's good.
It's good?
It's summertime, so it's the time that I least like because I get to work the most, like, out of the year
yeah,
in the summer.
You're giving people beef
yeah.
to eat in the yeah. tacos.
That's and your, I make more money during the summer, so it's okay.
Oh, I got you.
But yeah, it's doing real good.
So anything more on the bugs we need to discuss before we go to break?
I think.
Ladybugs, put them in the refrigerator. Oh, for how long? 6-8 hours or something?
Yeah, they get delivered about noon to 1-ish, and we just put them in the fridge right after they get there.
Not the freezer, right?
Not the freezer, the fridge.
Right.
Just in the fridge, and then when Dad gets home and the sun starts going down, we'll go out and release them before it's dark, but.
Is there... I know you're not going to answer this, but maybe your dad will be listening and he can help us. Is there a certain amount of how many ladybugs you need to release to a certain square footage of garden? Or you just throw a bunch of ladybugs out there and hope for the best?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if Dad knows, but what we do is we'll start at the wherever the aphids are. If there are
yeah, because they're
we'll
not all
there.
Over your plants. They
yeah,
start
no.
on certain plants.
Yeah, they usually stay on the cucumbers and then the okra. That's usually it. So we'll start there, and then we'll get them on those, and then we'll get them on the okra, and then we'll get them on the peppers, and then the tomatoes, and just whatever we have left.
That's where I had them last year was on the peppers.
Yeah.
And the first time I got them, which was about right now, end of May, 1st of June, the first time I got them, native ladybugs come in and hammered them.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I don't know what to compare it to, Desert Storm with the U.S. Army taking on the Iraqi Republican Guard. The Republican Guard ran.
Yeah, those ladybugs love aphids.
It's kind of funny. Everybody thinks the ladybug's just a ladybug.
Yeah.
And they're mean.
They are. I mean, not to us.
No, not to humans, but they're not afraid of humans.
No, they're not.
They try to avoid you, but they just go in there because alfalfa farmers, you know, they're just not enough ladybugs
mm-hmm.
to do. Because when aphids and whatever weevils and whatever comes in on alfalfa, when they come in, they show up in full force.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hey there. I grow mammoth sunflowers every year because they're my favorite flower. So how do I keep them ugly little worms, furry worms, off of them?
I don't know. We've never had problems with worms on our sunflowers.
Right.
I want to definitely have to look that up and find an answer.
Yeah, find out an answer and come back with them next year. Because I counted the other day. I have 90 sunflowers out there in my little containment.
That's a lot.
And there's 45 of them are supposed to be 15 foot taller or bigger.
That's my favorite.
And
sunflower.
I've been spoon feeding them some fertilizer.
Yeah.
Natural fertilizer.
Yeah. I love me some sunflowers.
Yeah. And then I got some purple ones.
You did?
I did. I got some purple. You've been gone for 2 or 3 weeks, so you didn't get any. I planted them all.
Come on now. What
well,
the heck?
Maybe you can have some seeds off of these. But they're supposed to be really pretty. So I've planted them for pollinators, obviously.
Yeah.
And I see something going on right now out in the rural America that the native wild sunflowers, they're already blooming.
Really?
Yeah, I'm already seeing that. And so things are looking good. We got lots of pairs of quail. Lots of bunny rabbits running around. I think nature's taking its course. And I want to thank all the county commissioners in Western Oklahoma for not doing the roadside mowing where they don't have to for safety purposes, because the quails are paired up and I don't know where their nests are. But if you guys can, if you know a county commissioner, ask them to hold off on the roadside mowing until at least July.
Because
the next 4 weeks is really critical for quail laying their first batch of eggs. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And good. Replanting peanuts. Yeah, we We were out kind of late last night. We're replanting two half pivots of peanuts right now, and I don't know how good that is for the quail. It might be good. I don't know. We'll see. I'll pay attention to the quail around there. All right, we need to take a Wheeler General store break, and then we'll be right back after all.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. This month, the buy one, get one free recliner is back with the Flint Swivel Glider Recliner for just $6.99. That's $6.99 for two recliners. With over 150 recliners to choose from, why shop anywhere else? And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free.
Located in Elk City next to Tractor Supply, where friends don't let friends pay retail.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 23rd. 1,684 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 334 brought 490. 14 at 426 brought 417.50. 13 at 537 brought 375. 3 at 578 brought 345. 5 at 615 brought 328. 7 at 659 brought 327. 3 head of heifers at 445 brought 360. 2 at 500 brought 335. 5 at 58 brought 310. 20 at 756 brought 273. 21 at 854 brought 258. 33 at 877 brought 264.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 172. Butcher bulls brought 145 to 206. Bred cows 1325 to 3600. Pairs brought 1600 to 3650. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. You ain't the only one. Stoney LaRue. It's Oklahoma breakdown. You sure do got you crying. And Western Oklahoma's so own Tyler Wilhelm. Yes, I'm proud of who I am. All jamming on Route 66 in Sarah. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of Red Dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Hey, hey, you're not a never-tweener. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sarah, Oklahoma, powered by KECO 96.5 FM. Be there.
Hey, farmers. It's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in. I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through because I want to help you and then at least give them my 2 cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some weather in northwestern Oklahoma. Maybe if I can get to it. There it is. Camargo. The only reason why I bring up Camargo, found out last year I got a long lost cousin from up there.
Really?
We don't know how we're cousins, but he said we're sure we're cousins.
Oh.
72 degrees, dew points 50, 45 is the humidity, southwest winds at 4 miles an hour, 10-day rain total 3.35 inches, 8:47 is the sunset. 80 and sunny today. Tonight, mostly clear, 57, And tomorrow, mucho bueno, warm. Mostly sunny and 89 degrees with light winds. Okay, speaking of vegetables, I noticed last week, I think it must be their first week out there. Maybe it's first week back because of vegetables and stuff. But out at the Elk City Livestock Auction, they've been selling vegetables out there. A couple ladies have.
Really?
Yeah, had everything out there. So they say you need to get there early to get their vegetables, but I went by there at 1:30 and they were still selling.
Really?
So you guys are needing some, I think they come from the Fort Worth vegetable farmers market down there. So I think they're still all homegrown. There ain't nothing commercial there. So
yeah.
Go check them out. See what's going on with them. All right. Let's talk about fertilizer. You want to?
Yeah.
In the gardens. So there's a lot of common fertilizer mistakes new gardeners make and old. I'm going to throw the old in there because there's a lot of it and how to avoid them. So this is a article from the Lazy Dog Farm. A quality fertilizer can be one of the most powerful tools in a gardener's arsenal, but it's easy to get it wrong. Yes, it is. Every spring, new gardeners eagerly plant tomatoes, squash, peppers, and beans, only to end up with slow growth, yellow leaves, or tiny harvests. Often fertilizer mistakes are a part of the problem. Here's a look at four common fertilizer mistakes and how using an effective organic liquid fertilizer can help you avoid them. And I found this to be true in the high tunnel.
Really?
And I tried to do the granular when I had, you know, when you guys came out 3 or 4 years ago and laid those 3 1,200-foot rows of plastic?
Yeah.
I learned a valuable lesson. I tried to dissolve granular and feed it through the drip system.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked right within a few hundred feet of where I was doing it, but not the other 1,000 foot per row. So,
yeah.
But liquid fertilizer, I got the injection system now, and I just spoon fed my babies last night, and it works pretty good.
Really?
You find the fertilizer you like, not like you don't have to use the same stuff I'm using, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And because you guys, what do you use, granular or liquid?
Granular.
That's what I thought. And so what's the first mistake people make?
The first mistake people use is fertilizing too soon after transplanting. This one kind of surprised me, and I'll tell you why after. But it's tempting to dump fertilizer into the hole when you transplant tomatoes or peppers, but too much too soon can burn tender roots. If you're a new gardener and not sure how much to use, you should be very, very careful doing this and follow the instructions.
Yeah.
Instead, allow plants a day or two to adjust to the soil, then apply fertilizer. And make sure that it's an organic fertilizer so you don't get all the bad chemicals in your plants.
Right.
No one wants that.
Right.
And for example, after transplanting tomatoes, wait about 3 to 5 days before applying your first light feeding. So that kind of shocked me because growing up, we always used, or when we would transplant them into the garden, we would dump fertilizer into the hole and then put the tomato plant in it.
Right.
So that reading that, I was like, that's different than what I do, but I can see where you can go wrong. You can use too much. We don't use a lot, so that might be why it's always worked for us.
Right.
And it may be the type of fertilizer you use.
Well, you guys put it in the hole before you transplant.
Yeah.
Right? So it takes a little bit for those root systems to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're doing the same thing they're saying right there. And I wouldn't be spraying my plants with fertilizer or nothing like that. So what I do is I put bone meal in the hole, a tablespoon, a big tablespoonful, or after couple tablespoons, I start guessing
and
into the bottom of the hole, and then I put the plant in there, and I water them, and then leave them alone for, I didn't fertilize my tomato plants for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
After planting.
Yeah, we don't ever put any fertilizer through the drip system.
Right.
Like, right after we transplant. So right. That we do wait with that one.
Yeah, and that's the deal. All right, so the number to mistake over-fertilizing through the season. More fertilizer doesn't always mean bigger plants. In fact, over-fertilizing can cause lush, leafy growth at the expense of fruit production. This is especially true with tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers. I've seen this happen many times when gardeners plant tomatoes or other fruiting vegetables in an area that has been heavily fertilized with chicken manure. The plants look beautiful, but the fruits are few. And I hear a lot of this. My plants were so pretty, but it didn't make nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a reason.
There is a reason.
Yep. And then using a balanced organic fertilizer, its recommended rates ensures plants can get what they need without going overboard. Plus, because it releases nutrients steadily and it reduces the risk of nutrient buildup in the soil. Always follow the label and fertilize every 10 to 14 days during the active growth periods, not every time you water. And this is a true deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I spoon feed mine. So if you're going to fertilize so much every 10 to 14 days, I cut it in half and I give it to them every 5 days.
Yeah.
Through the drip system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the same thing with a foliar sprayer, whatever you can do, spray on your plants.
Yeah. But,
so that's a... a lot of people, I've seen some people just go out there and throw fertilizer down once a month. And by the time you get the fertilizer back to your plants, they're like, dude, it's too late.
Yeah.
So over-fertilizing makes your plants look good. And under-fertilizing makes your plants look bad, but they try to make fruit.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line. Hey, YouTube is your best friend when growing a garden.
Yes.
I promise you.
My dad uses that. He's always on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. The things he sent me is TikToks.
Yeah, he is moving to TikTok. He's turning into one of those guys. But he's always on some sort of social media looking stuff up.
Does he have a problem?
Yes. But it's okay because I do too.
What's the third mistake?
The third mistake is forgetting to feed long season crops. Some crops can take longer to mature than others. I think like pumpkins, watermelons, and intermediate tomatoes. These plants need a mid-season nutrient boost to keep producing through the summer. Without feeding, you may see yellowing lower leaves, especially in corn and tomatoes, small fruits in your melons and cucumbers, and poor pollination with your squash and zucchinis.
Yep.
And mid-season is the perfect time to side-dress these crops with your
favorite
fertilizer.
Yeah. Whatever fertilizer you want to use.
Yeah.
And then, yes, like on indeterminate tomatoes, there's, you know, they're the ones that are vining.
Yeah.
That vine. And I think I bought some indeterminate tomatoes from your dad and didn't know it. And I got a mess on the floor of my tunnel right now. They're growing everywhere. I don't want them to grow. But so our new assistant chief to the NRCS, Mr. Jimmy Emmons from Dewey County, Leedy to be exact, he told me about some people in eastern Oklahoma that grow indeterminate tomatoes. Determinants are bush-type tomato plants. Indeterminants are vining tomato plants. He said they averaged around 800 pounds of tomatoes per plant per year.
Wow. That's
it takes
a lot
of work.
I would hate having to pick that.
Well, it's not so much, but you just got to keep them pruned,
mm-hmm.
and they're vining, and you're probably picking tomatoes standing up on ladders and stuff like that. But he said they feed them, they spoon feed them like I do my determinants, and it works out pretty good. But think about that, 800 pounds of tomatoes.
That's so much. I only need
about a fourth of tomato plant. So, okay, so mistake number four, many new gardeners using the wrong type of fertilizer. Many new gardeners accidentally grab a synthetic high nitrogen fertilizer meant for lawns, not vegetables. These fertilizers can cause explosive leaf growth, but poor fruit development, and they don't feed the soil microbes that make organic gardens thrive. And when we're talking about organic here, we're talking about just properly raised, not necessarily all organic. Yeah. So there is fertilizer specifically made for gardens. And, you know, you can go to Atwood's or Ace or your local nurseries, yeah, or get online like your dad on TikTok and see what works best for you. The one I'm using is all natural. It's not organic, but it's all natural. And people can overthink the fertilizer deal too.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't need to put this over here because this plant over here likes that, but this one don't. Just get you something that'll work in your garden all the way around.
Yeah.
And be careful when using cow manure, mm-hmm, because Grazon, a herbicide used in grasses around western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle, it can stay in your grass and your soil for up to 2 years.
Yes, it can.
And it comes out the cow's back in the same way. It'll stay in that fertilizer and the poop for, mm-hmm, a couple of years. So I think my old buddy Donnie Walker, he fertilized his wife's tomatoes up there in the Grimes metropolitan area. She was really upset with him when the tomatoes died.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful using manure. Make sure that it is herbicide free.
Yes.
Okay, so you got this. Gardening is always a learning process, but avoiding these fertilizing mistakes can make your first or fifth vegetable garden much more successful, whether you're growing juicy tomatoes, crisp cucumbers, or tender green beans. So just do your research or call Briley. She'll help you out. We got to go to break. We're way past break time. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ready, Western Oklahoma, the Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed, you ain't the only one. Stoney LaRue, it's Oklahoma Breakdown, the show do got you crying, and Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm. Yes, I'm proud of who I am. All jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of Red Dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Hey, lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sayre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO 96.5 FM. Be there.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Everybody I know likes free stuff. Lots of folks like DeWalt tools. Even better, how about free DeWalt tools? That's right. Buy a new select model of Hustler Zero Turn Mower or Cub Cadet Ultimate Series Mower from DJ's Rental and Sales and receive up to $600 in free DeWalt tools. It's that easy. Buy a new mower and receive free tools. That's DJ's Rental and Sales on South Main in Oak City. This offer is only good through the month of June, so you better hustle. Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You ready to finish up?
Yeah.
We got about 6 minutes left. Let's check out the Hulbert Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Let's go to Martha. You want to go to Martha? You know where Martha is?
No,
come
I don't.
Come on. Martha, Oklahoma. It's right there by Altus. It's 78 degrees. Dew point's 52. The humidity's 41. The winds are out of the east northeast at 6 miles an hour. 2.74 inches of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil. Temperature 73. Sunset 8:43. 80 and sunny today. Clear and 60 tonight. 89 and mostly sunny tomorrow with light south winds. Sounds pretty good. Well, pretty good sounding weather. So do you guys ever beat your tomato plants with a broom to get them to pollinate?
Well, another version of it, yes. We just cut the water off. We don't actually beat them with a broom, but we...
That's tomato abuse.
Yeah.
Shut the water off? So what's that do? No, I'm learning here. I'm not making fun of it.
So when your plants get really big and pretty and have all these blooms, but they're not turning to tomatoes, and I think it's the peppers and okra that you do this to as well. You cut their water off for however long you need to, and they'll start to think they're going to die. And then they'll snap out of it, and they'll start producing fruit. And
really?
Then they can turn their water back on.
So do you got, like, is there an average time you shut the water off? Are they about dead before you give them back the water?
They honestly will start to look a little sad, but, I mean, it's not really killing them. I mean, I guess kind of, if you're not careful with it, it could kill them. But if you're careful with it and you watch them, once they start realizing, oh, I'm going to die if I don't start producing fruit.
Sounds like some kind of vegetable cult.
Hey, now. It works.
No, I mean, if it worked, no, that's why I'm asking. Yeah, I was making a little bit of funny of you. Fun
yeah, that's
you.
How we do it.
Yeah. And I, takes a lot of psychological strength to do that to your plants. So,
I guess I'm just psychologically strong.
Oh, I got you. No, I mean, if it were, I never thought of it that way, but yeah. I guess it works.
It does work.
What's different than child abusing them by beating them?
I have never thought of it that way.
Yeah, with the broom. So, okay, good news, everybody. And I actually predicted this was going to happen.
Oh.
And this is probably the only thing I was right about in politics this year. But the USDA, where your dad works,
mm-hmm.
offices, including FSA and NRCS, the offices that was on the Dodge's lease termination list have disappeared.
Really?
See, it was just to scare everybody. In recent days, the Department of Government Efficiency, which is Dodge, has silently updated their lease terminations list on the wall of receipts, and the USDA offices have been majorly impacted. In March, the wall of receipts, which I read part of them, and none of them were in Oklahoma, listed nearly 750 government offices, office lease terminations planned as part as part of the Dodge agenda to maximize governmental efficiency and productivity. Now the list listed offices now is less than 500, and a large chunk of those that disappeared are with the USDA.
Wow.
Maybe because Jimmy Emmons is in there now. No, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't get him involved in that stuff. So it's a good deal.
Yeah.
FSA offices in Alabama, California, Kentucky, Maryland, Dakotas, even Puerto Rico and Texas. Nacogdoches. Is that how you say that? Nacogdoches? Nacogdoches, Texas. John Wayne said that on one of his movies. So anyway, it's all good.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for
very knowledgeable in the garden, by the way.
Thank you.
Some good, some bad. So, all right, you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. It's the Day in Ag with Briley and Jimmy, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre
and Elk City,
America. God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's on.
KECO, Elk City.